For me, listening to David speak and reading what he has written over the years has been an experience which I suppose is similar to his experience reading Heinlein. It didn't quite make me an anarchist, but it always leads me into broader realizations of problems the market might be able to solve that I didn't believe the market could solve before. And I say with the greatest sincerity that I think that is a profoundly significant contribution that David and many other libertarians have made. I tend to think David, in particular, maybe only because I know him best, has been preeminently successful at that because of the approach he takes, which is a very pragmatic, empirically based kind of approach of simply trying to think through and imagine these kinds of possibilities sort of one at a time. And if you don't take his bottom line, you can still buy the other 99 or 98% of it, and he sort of presents it that way. With regard to the issue of can the state step in and appropriately close all externalities in the way we would desire, David raises some very legitimate objections to the earlier practice of many liberal economists of blindly making that assumption, having identified a problem in the marketplace without any further analysis of the dynamics of government decision-making, of bureaucracy, and so on. They simply glibly assumed that the government, in this instance of market failure, needs to be brought in, and being brought in will do the right thing. Now, the criticism he raises against that is not justly leveled against either Professor Schoenfeld or myself, because neither one of us as far as I know, would fall into that mistake. On the other hand, I do firmly believe that there is, with Professor Schoenfeld, that there is a minimal level of government which is an essential prerequisite for a socially viable society, for the stability of the arrangements between people which lead toward the maximization of freedom in our personal interactions. And while David keeps peeling back where I think that line might be, as long as it is an empirically correct judgment that in fact is a necessity, then there are certain very hard problems we can't walk away from. We simply don't have the option of saying that because the government might not handle the situation optimally either, we can turn back to an also imperfect market dealing with this particular problem. I'm thinking particularly in the areas of rulemaking and rule enforcement. The really fundamental functions of government which instill the sense of commitment that makes people willing to put aside force and coercion as sort of their first way of dealing with their fellow man. I think those problems exist and cannot be avoided because I believe that some minimal amount of government is in fact necessary. And therefore, I must, in this very imperfect world, imperfect environment, strive to limit as realistically as possible the minimal amount of power I think must be allocated. Now, that's not a riskless course of action. It may through time be abused, but I just don't see any pure, clean, and simple way out of that particular dilemma. Oh, with regard to the question of money, I think that is a good illustration of the nature of the way in which David and to some extent I approach some of these problems, and that is, I don't see anything inherent in the principle of money or the nature of money that says that it has to be provided by government. And if David could convince me that there would be that the market could do a reasonably good job, then this is one of those things I currently think are essential for government to provide that I would immediately concede could be then turned over to the market. And he may be right. It's an issue which is by no means resolved in the profession, and only in the last year or two sort of given serious consideration. My own sort of provisional view on it, however, is that in the nature of the thing, it's not going to be adequately dealt with in the private sector. And I furthermore wanted to mention that I did not say that standardization would not emerge in the marketplace. My statement was, in fact, that because standardization would necessarily result in the marketplace due to the very nature of money, that suggests to me certain natural monopoly properties of money which make it very unlikely that private producers would supply an optimal amount or a stable amount. But there's a lot more analysis to go into that question, and I may have a very different position on it next year.
Thank you. I'd just merely like to point out briefly that many people who address themselves to this question just flatly assert or assume that our money is created by the government. Now, it just seems to me that in this country and in most countries, the bulk of the money is in the form of bank deposits, which are liabilities of private institutions, subject to various kinds of controls, to be sure, but it's still, in that sense, it's private money. Arthur?
Well, of course, I don't believe that money should be provided at all by the government. And, of course, in Hayek's system, government would have nothing to do with it. Under a metallic standard, it would not be provided by the government. Under Milton Friedman's system, it would, of course. But I don't agree with Milton on his monetary system. The question of central banking that I brought up was not a question of the provision of money by the government, but the question whether there should be any intrusion of the governmental hand in the system. And with some regret, I have come to the conclusion that there ought to be, but it's a question of very careful and intelligent management, and it's a highly debatable one. May I now say that David Friedman is, in my judgment, entirely right when he argues, and he argues cogently, that if one finds that the free market apparently doesn't deliver something, or doesn't deliver something well or perfectly, one is not entitled then to jump to the conclusion that therefore the state had better do it. He's, of course, entirely right. And no minimal state man that I've ever heard of would take that position. When I say that I believe there are some functions that the state ought to discharge, it is after a consideration, both analytically and historically, of the likelihood that the state will do that job well or fairly well or better than the market might be expected to do. And one knows that there are great hazards there. Well, the greatest hazard is that the appetite for power grows with the eating. And once one gives the state the power to do certain things, there's always the danger that it will overstep its due bounds. But, of course, the only way, in my judgment, to deal with that is to have a people vigilant to see that the bounds are not overstepped. People that understands the need at all times for the minimization of state action. When I therefore said that I believe there were some aspects of the police power that were legitimate for the state, it was on the basis of an examination of the likelihood that the state would do a tolerably good job in that field. By the way, when lawyers talk about the police power, they're not talking about policemen and crime. They're talking about functions such as I mentioned, the control of epidemics, the control of floods, the control of fires, safety in mines, and things of that sort. There's a strong tendency for governments to overstep the mark in all those, modern governments especially. One knows that. But nevertheless, I'm talking about the thing in principle, and I believe there are some things there that the state has to do. Finally, and David, can I please mention the thing I ought to have mentioned before, but you didn't give me any time to, and I think it's vital, and that is this. Great question for the minimum state man. Since the existence of some state means that there will be a system of law, a framework of law, within which free men will be free to buy and sell and produce and consume and save and invest, what should be the character of that framework of law? And in particular, should it include a system of law relating to competition and monopoly? Now, many, perhaps most, of the economists who have been champions for a long time of the free market system within a framework of law operated by a minimal state have generally answered yes to that question. And unfortunately, I think that they've been mistaken. Experience of antitrust systems, I believe, now shows that almost certainly they don't protect competition. Those that have existed or do exist now certainly don't. The question whether it is possible to devise an antitrust system that would do that job effectively is, I agree, an open question. But after long and agonizing debating within myself, and I teach that subject very often, I have more or less come to the conclusion that it can't be done at all. And that therefore, and this is a vital matter for anybody who believes, for every classical liberal who believes, every Whig who believes in the free market with a minimum state, I think it's important to come to the conclusion that that kind of legal framework, which ostensibly and at first sight appears to be necessary for the protection of freedom for the free market and its competitive nature, in fact is a mare's nest and ought to be eschewed.
Have a brief comment by David Friedman, and I hope that the members of the panel have an opportunity to address the question of national defense briefly also.
I have a difficult time here because I'm faced with two rather libertarian conservatives to argue with. I would say I do agree that there are questions of judgment. My own arguments on police, courts, and national defense you will find in the last third of my book, The Machinery of Freedom, which is presently in print from Arlington House. I would agree with the first speaker that I don't think I can prove that particular things, I don't think I can prove that all things can be done better without government. I think that is an interesting conjecture, which I'm interested in trying to give evidence for, but not something I can that I can prove. And I would agree that on the whole, these particular conservative libertarian economists are less prone than most to make the mistake of assuming that the government does the right thing. And yet it does seem to me that there is at least a lack in their analysis, perhaps a lack in all of our analyses, since we don't really have a good theory of government, of some attempt to answer the question, so to speak, how bad is the state? Or how bad is the government? Or how imperfect does the market have to be before we regard state intervention as being likely to be better? Now, I also have one very brief and specific comment. I would like to attack Art Shenfield for making an argument which is a very common libertarian error. That is, it is a view held by many libertarians, which unfortunately is false, and he has shown how libertarian he is in holding it as well. In condemning eminent domain, of course, I would also condemn eminent domain, he asserted that one can evaluate things except by the evaluation of the market. But were that the case, then no system of courts is going to be workable. Because when you accidentally or intentionally, let us suppose accidentally, smash your car through the front of my house, what is a civil court to do if, when I sue you, you calmly inform the court there is no possible way of determining the value to me of the front of my house, since this is not a market transaction? So that, in fact, unfortunately, with any court system, one does end up having to make non-market assessments of value. And I should say I do believe in a court system. If we had gotten into pollution, which I wanted to get into eventually but didn't have time, I would argue that in an anarcho-capitalist society, there would indeed be courts. As I say, you can read my book and figure out how you have courts without government. And they would face this problem, and they would unfortunately have to make some non-market evaluations of value. Thank you. I'm going to have to go for just 2 minutes to visit the men's room, then I'll be back.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, you'll give me 2 minutes to deal with that later.
Yeah, but